Good morning, everyone. We're going to read God's word now from Luke chapter 23 and starting at verse 26. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. When he took it down, he wrapped it in linen cloth and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
Is there the perfect Easter weekend? It's a little hard to know. I find it hard to answer. I don't seem to have a memory in my mind of the Easter weekend or some sort of childhood memory that I keep returning to. Wonder, what about you? I'm sure there's some sort of memories that exist for some of you here this morning. Could it be camping over the Easter long weekend? Could be Blues Fest at Byron. It could be the Royal Easter Show. Although that's hardly had the perfect start this year. So my question for you is, what does not just a good Easter weekend look like for you, but what does the perfect Easter weekend look like for you? Well, this morning I want to guarantee you that today you can experience not just a good Friday, but the perfect Friday. And the way to find this perfect day is in the words that we just read together in the Bible. It sounds like possibly an impossible goal, but it's not. Let me pray, and I'm going to ask for God's help to assist us so that we might have the perfect day. Dear Father, we do pray that you might help us to be attentive to your word, to let it really speak to us, to help us to get clear on why Good Friday isn't just good, but actually incredibly perfect for those who learn the secret about the meaning of the day. Please help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think for the average Aussie, the message or the meaning of Good Friday is a little foggy. I'd suggest that if we were to go down along the coast this week on the North Coast, what's the meaning behind Good Friday? What would their answer be? I reckon some could mutter Jesus, or even Jesus dying on the cross, or even Jesus dying for sin. But what the relevance of that means for them is a little unknown. Yet one person was very clear on Good Friday, crystal clear on what was going on. Because do you remember this powerful little interaction from Luke 23? Look at verse 42 and 43. Then he, the criminal, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." It's an incredible exchange, isn't it? And particularly when you think about my opening question, how do you make the most of the Easter weekend? What was the prospect like for this guy beside Jesus? How was his weekend looking? Hellish, really. You know, you talk about a wet weekend over Easter, stuck in a tent with the pouring rain, but this guy knew the forecast, didn't he? His outlook was very bleak. He hung on the cross beside Jesus, tortured to death by the ancient Roman regime of crucifixion. He knew he wasn't going to make it through the day. He would die that day, and so he was destined to have a very bad day. Yet we know that's not how the day ends for him, does it? Remarkably, incredibly, unbelievably, this guy goes from the hell of a day to absolute perfection within a moment. He hears these words from Jesus, "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." From hell to heaven, horrible to spectacular, miserable to magnificent, death to life, bad to good, failure to perfection. Not just a good Friday. This is the most perfect Friday any human has ever experienced. Who loves Fridays? Hands up. They're good, aren't they? What is it that makes them so good? I wonder whether it's the anticipation, the prospect of what might be, you know, salivating about what's the weekend going to be, what's the big game that you're playing. Is Ganalabar really going to come up on top this time? Is it the picnic you're planning? Is it some sort of DIY project? At least it's in your mind and you think you might just achieve it. Is it the sewing day you planned? Or it's the family members that are visiting for the weekend? Or it's the dinner plan with that old long-lost friend? No wonder we've coined the term, and Colin does it too. Thank God it's Friday. Friday's promised so much. But absolutely nothing like this Friday. Because this guy in Luke 23, it's not just a good Friday. Richie and I were talking about this character yesterday, Richie goes, "I'd like to make a movie about this criminal, you know. It goes along, you know, the plot develops and he gets convicted and we all go, yes, because we understand his story. But look at what happens to him. About to die, worst day of his life. What a twist to the narrative. The most perfect Friday. Wasn't it? Wasn't it for this guy? Wasn't it? Absolutely awful to astonishing. It was deadly to lively. There was silence. Now they're singing. He's from a dungeon. He's dancing. It was pathetic. Paradise. What a day. Perfect. How good was the criminal's Friday? Out of this world. It was epic. There's some other word that kids are using now and I forget. But anyway, unbelievable and yet completely undisturbed. He didn't deserve it. He wakes up on that Friday morning. He knew the nightmare from the night before was real. He knows he's guilty. He knows he's going to die. Because did you catch his confession in verse 40 and 41? "Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. We're getting what our deeds deserve. This man has done nothing wrong. Did you notice how genuine he is? How heartbroken, how authentic? He doesn't use our inevitable, but if maybe it destroys our confessions. This man is deeply aware he's wrong. He recognizes the seriousness of how he has hurt someone or many people. He affirms the verdict against him. He accepts his punishment. It is being enacted. He will die. This guilty, dying man says, sorry. Thank you, please. Sorry, Jesus, I'm getting what I deserved. But thank you that you were the perfect, innocent king. Please remember me. It's amazing, isn't it? He's not pushy with Jesus. He doesn't try to manipulate him. He humbles himself on a bended knee before the king. What does Jesus the king do? He's there on the throne of his cross. He forgives this man. He reaches out his nail-pierced hands and he says, follow me to the most perfect place you've ever seen. I don't know where you would choose to experience your perfect Easter weekend. The perfect place, is it the beach? Hands up. Is it the bush? Hands up. Is it a perfect B&B? Hands up. Our city's just gone through the ringer, hasn't it? So I do hope that you'll be able to achieve some sort of refreshment, some sort of getaway this weekend. And if not, can I actually encourage you to try to get out of town in the next month or two? It's just very devastating, and we need energy to be able to care for and love our city for years to come. But if I think of one of my favourite spots in all of Australia, it's Rainbow Bay at Coolangatta on the Gold Coast. And more specifically, it's Rainbow Bay Surf Club. It has a long veranda. You look out through palm trees onto the water and up the whole Gold Coast Strip. It's branded across the whole length of the building. It's a very long surf club, but it has all the way across the building. It's probably 50 metres or something like this. It's a famous tagline from a beer, and it says, from a place you'd rather be. Now, I know that mightn't be everyone's cup of tea, but for me, I reckon I can hardly suggest a better venue for a beer as the sun is setting on a Good Friday public holiday. If you see me driving off into the sunset about midday today, you know where I've gone. And yet I know someone would violently disagree with me, and it's our friend we met today in Luke 23. What would he say to me? Stu, are you crazy? Is this the goodest thing you can do on a Good Friday? Sure, the view is nice. It's not a bad surf break for the surfers out there. It's where the Quicksilver Pro was held. But it has nothing. Nothing on perfection. Nothing on paradise. Stu, I know a guy you need to meet because he can take you to a place you'd rather be. Do you want to meet, or do you want to have the perfect Good Friday? Then meet the perfect man, Jesus. Don't worry, you don't need to prove yourself. There's no dress code. You can wear thongs. You can wear your hat. You can even wear a singlet if you want. Just leave your if, buts and maybes at the door. When you meet this perfect guy, just say, sorry, thank you, please. Sorry, Jesus, for the way I screw up and I always want to make myself the centre of everything. Thank you, you lived the perfect life for my imperfect one. Please become the king of my life. This is what you could say. Jesus, I humbly acknowledge I've sinned in my thinking, my speaking, and my acting. I firmly believe you died on that cross for my sin, bearing them in your body. You suffered in my place the condemnation that I deserved. I've counted the cost of following you. I sincerely repent. I want to turn from my past, and I want to surrender to you as my king. I will follow you. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. What would Jesus' response be to you? I know the perfect place. I'll take you there. I think one of my favourite stories is of a woman from the United States. Her husband died 26 years ago. She was kind of desperate for a man, so much so that she ended up with a guy who was slowly stealing all her life savings. Fortunately, a Christian pastor happened to move in next door to her. but she'd always keep him at arm's length and her and his family. One day, she let the pastor's wife in, and by that, into her life. She was sitting on the front step of the home and openly shared her life. Up until that point, it had always been a closed book. So there they are, on this step, and the pastor got to share with her the perfect man he knew for her. I can't remember what day of the week it was. Maybe it was a Friday. But she was keen. So he goes on telling her about this guy he knows. He goes, "Oh, you should meet him. He's caring, he's strong, he's humble, he's kind, he's loving." She's drawn in. She's thinking, "This is the perfect guy for me." She finally says, "I want to meet him." And he says, "It's Jesus." And she responds as quick as a flash, "I don't want him. I want someone with flesh and bones." She didn't want him. And yet early in the hours of the next morning, she couldn't sleep. She was so unsettled, tossing and turning, until she said, "Sorry, thank you, please." And she accepted Jesus as her king that night. About 3 years ago, that woman died. She'd followed Jesus for the last 8 or 9 years of her life. But you know what the man of her dreams' response to her was on that day? "Truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." I don't know what your perfect Easter weekend looks like after the storm our city has endured. Maybe you're just trying to work out what day it is. However you might define a good or a great weekend, in Luke 23, we meet a guy who experienced the perfect Good Friday. Though he closed his eyes in death on that day, he opened them in paradise, guided by the perfect God, the perfect human, the perfect King, Jesus. Well, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, we want to thank you that Jesus lived the perfect life, that he knew what it was to live in obedience to you. He knew clearly what his mission to this world was, to save us from ourselves, to die our death that we might live. We are sorry we find it so hard to admit we're wrong, that if, buts and maybes dominate our flimsy apologies. So please help us. Help us to rely on you, that we wouldn't try to hide behind some picture of the perfect life, but we might be open to be guided and ruled by your Son. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.